Okay, today's daf is Yivamah's daf Pei Gimel, and we are on Pei Beis Amid Beis towards the end of Perek Ha'arel, and we are now discussing, or in the middle of discussing, the language of the Mishnah in terms of an androgynous getting married. The Mishnah had said, two daf ago on daf Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, androgynous no say avalonisa. That was the lashon of the Mishnah. No, androgynous can get married, meaning act like a male. No say, he's treated like a zachar, avalonisa, but cannot act like a female. So it sounds like from that line that we treat him like a male. The next line says, Rabbi Eliezer adds on, that androgynous, one is chayev mishkav zachar, if one is shochev with an androgynous, also seemingly treating him like a zachar, and we have to see what the difference is between those two lines, because it seems like they're both pointing in the same direction. But our Gemara said, androgynous no say, that sounds like lechadchila. Lechadchila, androgynous is considered zachar, like totally to get married. So is that akasha, we had machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is it vaday or not? So we said, no, it means b'diyevet. The second line is mashba b'diyevet. So the first line also might mean b'diyevet. So we said, no, that's not the language. No say sounds l'chadchila. Nisa sounds b'diyevet. So says the so at that point we ended with a question, a problem with Reish Lakish, meaning is that how do you really put these lashonos together? So says the Gemara, v'hami diktani seifa. We're about six lines up from the bottom. V'hami diktani seifa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. The next line, Rabbi Eliezer says, androgynous chayavin alav skila kizachar. The next line, Rabbi Eliezer says that androgynous, you are chayiv skila. If a zachar lives with an androgynous, he's chayiv skila for mishkav zachar. Michlal the Tanakama sifuki misafkale. Mashma that the Tanakama is not so clear about it and not so sure, so it wouldn't be a lechadchila. So the Gemara says, and therefore that would be a kasha also on Rabbi Yochanan. Forget on Reish Lakish, even on Rabbi Yochanan who says vaday zachar, but the fact that Rabbi Eliezer says it's vaday, mashma the Tanakama would hold safek. So the Gemara says no. Bain Lamar, Mifshat Pshitale. According to both the anonymous line of the Mishnah and Rabbi Eliezer's line, they both hold that it's obvious to them that it's considered Vadai. But what's the difference between them? Ikebinayu, Skila, Mishne Makomos. The question is, Mishkav Zachar, yes. You treat him like a Zachar and Mishkav Zachar. So if a Zachar has a relation with a Zachar in the place where Mishkav Zachar usually takes place, so that for sure is Chayev Skila. The question is, an androgynous also has an Aver Hanakeva. So therefore, what happens if a Zachar is with an androgynous with his through his aver hanakeva? So that's the shaila. Do we treat him also, give him the chumers of an akeva too? Mishnei makomos. Demar sarva the Tanakama holds chayavan alav skila mishnei makomos from both places, because you treat him like a zachar, it's like a soup, more even more than a regular zachar. You give him a chumra of an akeva too. Omar savar kizachar, and Rabbi Eliezer holds Rashi's girsa is Rabbi Eliezer savar kizachar. You treat him like a zachar, it's therefore only b'makam zachras in b'makam nakvis lo. Rashi says that's the difference between the two. So do you treat him like a vade zachar or a vade zachar plus, so to speak? Okay, couple of 2 points. Number one is the psak of the Rambam. The Rambam, in a number of places, quotes, and we're going to have other deos about this before I'm jumping ahead, and before we see the Tosfos on the next Amud, but we'll say the Rambam anyway, we'll get back to it. The Rambam, in a number of places, paskins that an androgynous is a suffix. That's what he paskins in Hilchas Ishus. The Rambam says at the end of Perek Beis of Hilchas Ishus. It's amazing. The Rambam, in his expert organizational skills, the Rambam, in the first two program of Hilchas Ishus, gives us a lot of definitions. What's Kiddushin, what's Nisuin, what's Nara, what's Bogeres, what's Ketana, goes through all the definitions. So toward the end of that parak, he says, Mi sheyeshlo evari zachrus ve'evari nakvus, hu anikra androgynous. Somebody has both. They call it androgynous. It, or they. V'hu safek im zachar im nekeva. The Rambam paskins. And we have like 5 different opinions. So, zachar, safik, safik. Ve'ein lo simin sheyivada bo im hu zachar vaday o nekeva vadayis la'olam. Never will we find out for sure. Umi, and then he continues, umi she'ein lo zachris lo nakvus ela atum hu. But if somebody does not have any clear signs, but they are closed up, atum, hu anikra tumtum. Ve'gam hu safik, he's also a safik. But a tumtum is different in that a tumtum can be figured out, so to speak. V'im nikra tumtum, v'im sa zachar, hariyu kezachar vaday. V'im sa nekeva, hariyu nekeva. Etc. He continues. Then he goes through a cheresh and a chareshes. And then when it's a fascinating, the last halacha, Perek Beis of Hilchas Ishus. Nimsu Kol Hashemos Shebi'arnu Inyanim B'Shnei Prakim Elu Esrim Shemos. I have explained 20 principles and concepts in these two prakim, if you didn't catch it. The Eluhain, and just to review, the Rambam is an expert organization, you know, and clarity and summary and introduction. The Rambam says, here they are. Kiddushin, Erva, Shnia, Yisuri Lav, and Yisuri Asay, Tana, Nara, Bagaris, Islandis, Gdola, Simen Taklut, Simen Elyon, Katan, Sris Chamas, Sris Adam, Gadol, Androgynous, Tumtum, Cheresh, Pikeach. That's it. Sim kol Hashemos, this is the Mishnah Torah. Sim kol Shemos Elu Umascha Tamid. Put all of these names in front of you, always. V'al Yaluzu Me'einecha kol Inyonehem. Don't let any of these principles leave your eyes. Kedei Sheloni Yetzrichim Leva'er Inyon kol Shemehen B'chol Makam Shenaskir Oso. I'm not going to explain every one of these principles every time it comes up in the Mishnah Torah. So you should just know, review the first two Prakim of Hilchos Ishus, and you'll remember all of these principles. So if you ever need any of those 20 principles names, you got to look back here to know what the Rambam is talking about. So that's the Rambam. So does the Rambam say? Suffik. He paskin that Adrogonis is a suffik. The question, therefore, is that in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, he paskins that Chayiv Mishkav Zachar Skila, if one is Zachar is with an Adrogonis. So ask the Rashba right here on our daf. How could the Rambam do that? If the Rambam paskin suffik, suffik zachar, suffik nekeva, so how could one get skila for that? So the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, there in Yisurei Bia, he quotes our Rashba, verbatim. I'll just read it from the Rashba. He says, he goes to the Rambam, and he says, Pasak, Rebbe Lazar, Darach Chayavar, love skila kezachar. Velo yadati heich yiskaimu shnei psakim alalu. How could you paskin an androgynous is a suffik? So maybe it's an akeva. And if it's maybe in a keva, how can you say it's chayav for mishkav zachar skila? She imata misveko misafko kine keva hechata sokel al biaso v'imata sokel al biaso kizachar lo yehe koachat shruma chamura min askila. We say that androgynous is not ma'achil, but if you can put somebody to death for being with an androgynous, treating him like a zachar, so why isn't he strong enough to be ma'achil v'yachil ishtoy b'truma she'in kan safik zachar levadai zachar. So says the Rashba, v'shema hu sover, da'af Reb Elazar savar, debirya bifrei atzmahi, we'll see that means safik, ela, it must be real safik, but it's a gzeras hakasav. Gzeras hakasav, shechayav and alav skila, b'kizachar, b'gzeras hakasav, as it says, midachsiv, v'zachar lo tishkav mishkevei isha, as we'll see to Beshem soon. Ezeu zachar sheish bo shnei mishkavos, havi omer ze androgynous. That's the Rashba. The Rashba says fundamentally safik, special gzeras hakasav. This safik is chayiv for mishkav zachar, even though we would normally treat it as a suffix. So does that gzeras hakasav then reflect something that it's not a normal, regular case of suffix? Like we've discussed, like we mentioned about Ben Hashmashos, like we've mentioned about, we'll get back to it again, about a koi, right? Those are the three cases of suffix in the Gemara. Androgynous, koi, Ben Hashmashos, right? At least those three I could think of right now. So again, in every case, you have to ask, are any of these sfeikas unique discussions? So the Rashba already opens up the our understanding a little bit in saying, safek, but it's a gzeiras hakasav for this halacha. So again, whenever you have a gzeiras hakasav, you have to ask, does that reflect something about the halacha in general? Good. The idea of androgynous and tumtum also getting married, as our Mishnah is discussing, also relates to the idea about whether, we know whether an androgynous and tumtum can have a child. We've mentioned already back in Perek HaBal Yevimto the importance of the mitzvah of Puravu. We discussed that at length, and the different shitas about what one is chayiv to have a Puravu, right? Paskin Machlokas Tanaim, whether women are obligated to Puravu, the last daf in the Perek, and earlier about how many, a boy and a girl, a boy and a boy, and two boys, and all the different deos that we had. We paskin, as we remember, only men are obligated and obligated to have a boy and a girl, but the Shulchan Aruch, the first siman in Evan Ezer, emphasizes the importance of having a child as part of the marriage process. But again, that does not take away from the fact that if somebody can't, there's also elements, as we mentioned there, kol she'ein b'she'ein lo isha, ein lo bracha, ein lo Torah, all that, prevention of chashash aveira. Remember, we had the Amoraim that the Talmidim said, Rebbe, what are you doing? You're so nice to your wife, and look what she causes Yitzaris. She saves me from aveira. That's enough, and she sends my kids to yeshiva. Right? As long as she does that, that's all. But that is true. So there's two separate elements. There's the idea of children, and there's the idea of just being married. But obviously, a major part of being married is to have children. Just, I want you to read the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph. Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, in Eben Ezer. Chayiv kol adam, lisa isha, kidei lifros velerbos. First line. Person is chayiv to get married in order to have children. Yes, there's other elements of marriage, but and the ikker element is to have to build a family. Then he quotes Chazal's from our from Yevamis that we had. Right, all the Chazal's. If somebody actively does not pursue the mitzvah of Puravu, the Beis Shmuel does say the first Beis Shmuel and Eben Ezer. The Chayav Livo b'chol Ona afilu shehirsha says b'ayla sheyimna onasa Chayav Livo b'chol Ona ashi elobanim. Kach Kasav Rambam, Perek Tefzom Yechazishas. He quotes the Rambam that one has to do their best to try to have children soon after marriage. Right? It's always when young people are thinking about going out, getting married, right? They have to realize that when one says, okay, I'm ready to be a husband, that means, and Yadus, I'm ready to be a father. Right? Husband and father is not two different stages. Right? They go together. That's based on the first Siman in Shulchan Aruch. Chai of Lisa Isha Kidei Lifras Valerbos. All the amazing Nosei Kalim on the Chachma Shlomo on the bottom here. What if somebody can't? What about adoption? What about teaching children, other people Torah? Ki'ilu Yilado. We mentioned a number of years ago the great story in Parsha Shir. It was a story that there was a nephew of Rav Shlomo Zalman that was getting married, and he learned in Potovich. So Rav Shach was his Rebbe. So they come to the wedding, and they're each arguing who should be Masada Kedushin. Rav Shach says, no, you have to be Masada Kedushin. Or Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, you have to be Masada Kedushin. They're arguing with each other. And finally, Rav Shach puts his foot down and says, you're Mishpacha, you have to be Masada Kedushin. You're his uncle. So Rav Shlomo Zalman turns to him and says, okay, you're Mishpacha too, you're his father. Because if you teach somebody Torah, ki'ilu yalado, as if you gave birth to him. That was it. Rav Shach didn't have anything to say. So Rav Shach was Masada Kedushin. Rav Shlomo Zalman won. But that's the based on this Chachma Shlomo right here in the beginning of Eben Ezer about teaching all the ki'ilus. Ki'ilu and the Taz at the beginning of Eben Ezer also discusses that. But again, so when we talk about an androgynous, a tumtum, yes, there are elements of getting married even if one wouldn't be able to have a child, but it does not mean that that is the whole purpose. Okay. Amar Rav. Says Rav. Lesa lemasisan mikame braisa. We knock out our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? In our Mishnah, remember back on Daf Pei Aleph, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon held that androgynous Kohen that marries a Bas Yisrael could be ma'achila b'truma, gives her truma. In other words, Rabbi Yossi sounds like in our Mishnah that androgynous is a vaday zachar. And therefore, yes, we have the machlokes, Reish Lakish said maybe not. Maybe he's not Machil B'chazi V'shok, only Durabanan. Let's take the Pashtus, like Rabbi Yochanan's version of the of Rabbi Yossi, that yeah, he is a Vadei Zachar, and that's why he's Ma'achil, his wife, Truma. So says Rav, well, Lesa L'masisa Mikame Braisa. We have a Braisa that has a different Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, we knock out the Mishnah because of the authority of the Braisa. The Tanya, because the Braisa, the Tosefta says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Androgynous Birya Bifnei Atzmahu. Androgynous is a birya b'nei atzma, is its own entity, and the chachamim have not decided, interesting lashon, they were not machriya. Could they be machriya? Did they decide not to be machriya? Or they weren't machriya? They tried and they couldn't. Does this mean they couldn't, or does this mean they wouldn't? That's an interesting question. They didn't decide. So therefore, you see, the Braisa holds, Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not sure. Our Mishnah says, Ma'achil. So we take the Braisa over the Mishnah. Major machlokas. You can't learn the sugya of androgynous without the following machlokas. Right? Whenever you have to go to a siyum on Maseches Seder Zeroyim, and the children talk about, the children. We should also make siyum on Seder Zeroyim. Right? And we talk about androgynous, the last parak there. Androgynous and tumtum. So, right here, Yevamis Pei Gimel. What does it mean, Birya Bifnei Atzma? What does that mean? So we usually think about, oh, there's some that say Vaday Zachar, some say Vaday Nekeva, some say Safig, and Androgynous, and Birya Bifnei Atzma is something different. Tosfos begs to differ. Tosfos right here. Don't think that when the Gemara says Birya Bifnei Atzma, it means a separate category. All Birya Bifnei Atzma means is Safig Zachar, Safig Nekeva. That's Tosfos Hashita. Amari, Dahai Birya, Lav Have Pirusho, Kagon Birya, Shibimakomos Acherim, She'eno Safik. This doesn't mean Birya like in other places. No, don't think that. Ela Birya to Kamar Hacha, Hainu Shu Safik, Kid to Kamar, like the next line says, Velo Hichriu Bo Vachulu. You read the next line, they couldn't decide. That means it's a Safik. That's Tosfos Ashita. And then he says, you look in Meseches Nida, I also got that impression. Why? Because if you happen to, the Gemara says there, if you have an androgynous that has some type of emission from his body, so we know there are different types of colors. If a man has this color, then he's a Zav. If he has this color, he's not. And if a woman has this color, so they all have different rules. So the Gemara there says, an androgynous that sees Loven or Odem, ain't Sarfan Alav at the Truma. Neither one. Right, you're not sorry of truma. Ra'u loven v'odem ka'achas, but if he sees both, sarfan alav et ha'truma. If he sees both white and red, then you consider him a vadai tamei. And if he would touch truma, so then it would be make the truma tamei. So what do you see from there? What do you see from this? So if it was birya b'fayatzva, he's not a man and he's not a woman, then he should never be able to make anything tamei. It must be that he has elements of zachar, elements of nekeva, and therefore if both colors came out of him, you're covered somewhere. He's Batami this, either as a Zachar or as a Nekeva, whatever he is. That's Tosfos' Raya. Alma Behedya Mashvili Rav Sveika, and therefore if you have colors from both, so then it would be a Tame. And the Tosfos Arash also expands on Tosfos, agreeing with him. Hi Biri Dahaka Lo Avi Pirusha She'eno Safik Ish Safik Isha Ela Biri Bifnei Hatzma. No, don't say that. And it's not like, says the Tosfos Arash, Koi. What's Koi? Koi we know from elsewhere, beginning of the last parak in Yuma. Koi has certain elements of a behemoth and certain elements of a chaya. And the Gemara there uses the Lashon of Birya b'fnei atzma, says the Tosfos Arash, androgynous and Koi are not the same Birya b'fnei atzmas. Androgynous means Birya b'fnei atzma haki pirusho klomar machmas shehu birya mishuna sheyesh lo zichras v'nikvus nistavku bo im zichras shelo ikur o nikvus shelo ikur vein sveika zos omedes lizbarer lo olam. And that's different than tumtum and different than koi, etc. That is the Tosfos Arash expanding on Tosfos. Who argues? The Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Chachmei Tzarfas. He quotes the Baalei HaTosfos and says, I think you're wrong. He quotes Pirsha Chachmei Tzarfatim, Birya Miyuchedesh Lechrirbo, Lomashu Safik, the Heim Herichu Ode, says the Ramban. They had very lengthy discussions about this. And says the Ramban, Ulvidaiti, Ein Dvarim Nechonim. I don't think that's what the words mean. If the Gemara wanted to say Safik, it would have said Safik. Deloshen Birya Bifnei Atzmohi, La'afuke, Mi Safik Itmar B'chol Makom. Whenever you see the word birya bifnei atzmo throughout Shas, it's always in contrast to the shita that says suffik. Kida amrinan garbe koi. Like it says by koi, it says, why should koi, if the same lashon is used by koi and androgynous, birya bifnei atzmo, how could you say that mean different things? They mean the same thing, says the Ramban. Kol chel of the rabos koi, v'chati shir. V'chul, and it continues. V'hainu, what does it mean by koi? She'ein alochaya v'lo behema. It's a great example of a machlokas rishonim where one rishon is influenced by his logic and therefore he pushes in a difficult understanding into the lashon. It says the same words in two different gemaras, but it means two different things, says Tosfos. Ramban says, no, it says the same thing, so it's got to mean the same thing. And therefore, compare koi and androgynous. And he says, min b'fnei atzmahu, like by a koi, she'ein simadav machrino so lios mechlal b'nei chaya o mechlal m'nei behema, ela matzu bo simani shneyem, lefichach asa'u min shlishi b'fnei atzmo, v'chein b'androgynous, lefi shelo echriola b'simanim shel ish lasos ke'ish, uvalo b'simanim shel ish lasos ke'isha, lefichach hosi'u mechlal shneyem ba'asa'uhu, Birya b'fnei atzmo. Lo amru shelo hikiru, ela shelo hichriu, she'ein nekeva ela b'mukhra'as, b'simanim l'nekeva, v'ein zachar ela b'mukhra l'zachras. They decided not to decide, and to leave him as a unique third type of human being. There are men, there are women, there are androgynouses. That's the Ramban. Tosfos says no. Tosfos says this is either Safik or there's two types of human beings. And then there's one that you're not sure which one it is. So that's a major, very important, you can't learn on Drogon. It's about the Machlokas right here. Tosfos and the Ramban. So again, we mentioned a few days ago all the different categories. So here, is it Zachar? Is it Nekeva? Is it one or the other? Is it Vadai, a third category? Right here, that's the Machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, in the name of Rav. Rav says that, well, the Brisa says, Tosfos in the Ramban, but they both can read the Gemara. Either way, it's different than our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, Rav Yossi holds Vadai Zachar. And the Brisa says, either Safeg or Be'ir B'fnei Atzma. So the Brisa wins. Says the Gemara, why is that? Fourth line, Adarabba, Lesa L'Brisa Mikami Masnisun. Why does the Brisa beat the Mishnah? Isn't the Mishnah more authoritative than the Brisa? Rav Yehuda Hanasi looked around, and he chose certain discussions to put into the Mishnah of the Batei Medrash, so doesn't the Mishnah have more authority? So the Gemara says, yes, in general it might, but here, there's, we might call it a Reisa. Why? Mi deshavke Reb Yossi lebarzuge. In the Mishnah, Reb Yossi is talking with Reb Shimon. And here in the Brisa, Reb Yossi is talking by himself, so that means that it's not just a copy. It's not just the Mishnah and the Brisa are having the same conversation. It must be that originally Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon agreed with each other, and the fact that Reb Yossi is alone here must be that he was chozer bo. It must be that he retracted. Shvamina hadarbe, and therefore we would trust the Bryce's version of Reb Yossi over the Mishnah's version of Reb Yossi. The Rush here in the back has a line, Mistama, the Brisa was written and discussed after the Mishnah. Doesn't give any more detail than that. Mistama, it's afterwards. You look in the Tosfos Yishanim here. The Tosfos Yishanim says, who says, maybe the Brisa was first and not the Mishnah. So he says, Ein Zekushya, Da Svarahu, Da Masisa Karma La Brisa Hanal. Number one, he says the same thing as the Rush, Svara. And then he says, no. He says, Od Omer, Rabbeinu Nisanel, Mita Kamar Velo Achriyu Bo Chachamim, Mashma, what is the language in the Brisa of, they didn't decide. It must be, Mashma deshame lachachamim shehichriu bolas oso kizachar v'hu lochashiv lehachra barura. The language of the Brisa sounds like they didn't decide. Mashma, somebody beforehand did decide. They saw that discussion and they said, no, we're not going to decide. So that's the Tosfos Yishanim's raya. Must have been the Mishnah's first because the Baale HaBrisa, Reb Yo, they saw that lashon and, you know, they decided not to decide. Okay, so that's why this Brisa would beat the Mishnah. A little more, and then we'll come back with Mishnah and Brisa discussions. Let's just read the next line. Ushmuel amar, lesa la Brisa mikami masisun. Shmuel argues with Rab. Shmuel says, no. The Brisa is knocked out because of the Mishnah. Adarabba, lesa la masisun mikami Brisa, the shamina le Shmuel, the chayish le chida. What do you mean? Isn't Shmuel choshesh for a das yachid even when it's lachumra? Right? Rashi quotes where we had this earlier in the Masechta at one point. So shouldn't Shmuel be choshesh? So the Gemara says, Hani mili kilomis akra masnisa. Yes, Shmuel is choshesh for a das yachid when it doesn't go against what it says in a Mishnah. Aval kimis akra masnisa lo chayish. But when it's okay, a Mishnah, then he is not choshesh and Shmuel would go with the rabbit. When we talk about Mishnayis and Brisos, right, so we know just in terms of authority, as the Gemara here was Mashma, Mishnayis have more authority, because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi chose the Mishnayis to put into Sisha Sidrei Mishnah. What does the word Brisa mean? The word Bra means outside. Brises, whether they're Brises or whether they're Toseftos, they were left outside, so they have Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, they have less authority. But there is a line of Ilfa, a number of times in Shas, where Ilfa says that the roots of every Brisa discussion are found in Mishnayis. And he even dared people. He said, if you could, you give me a Brisa and I'll tell you where it is in the Mishnah. And if I can't, he used to go on the side of a boat. And he said, if I can't, I'm going to jump off this boat. That's what Ilfa said in Maseches Ksubis and Maseches Tainus. That's what he says. Because Ilfa knew that the roots of Brises were all in Mishnayis. It's fascinating if you look in the Hakdama of the Margolius Hayam. Margolius Hayam, Reuven Margolius on Sanhedrin. That's what he's known for. He's known for this, his sefer on Sanhedrin. So in his Hakdama, he just gives a pshat of this Gemara without saying any other word. So there are suggestions why he does that. What does he do? He quotes Ilfa, and he quotes that Ilfa, we know the Gemara in Tainus Chafalef, that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan left the yeshiva, and then Rabbi Yochanan heard the voice, and he went back to yeshiva to become the Gadol Hadar, and Ilfa didn't, and they told Ilfa, you know, if you would have gone back, you were even sharper than Rabbi Yochanan, and you would have become the Gadol Hadar. And throughout these two places in Shas, you know, Ilfa says that, you know, ask me about any Brisa, right? Meaning he knows. So he says the Bargolas Hayam, Ilfa kinir'eh lo haya lo malimkar. He had zero money. He didn't have anything to sell to put bread on the table. Lo yarash nach lasad of a karim, umibli emsaim sheyaaf shirulo, ula beiso lichyot, ad hayamim shebahem ye roi lahora, huchrach lefanos gam laasokim, velomar tov torem derech eretz. You know, you have to realize, you know, so the Gemara, you know, a little bit has a little negative view of Ilfa, says Rebbe Uva Margolis. You have to understand where he's coming from. He had no money, he had zero, he had to go make a living. Malachi Asharis come to Alayim, the Malachim, you know, were worried about him, and Rabbi Yochanan, but Yada Ilfa, ki amnam lo timsa halacha psuka, hora lamaisa bisachranim vitagranim, even though the Gemara says, lo meiver layami, even though the Gemara in Erevin, and he quotes on the bottom, the Hagdama of the Chachmas Adam, which is required reading for anybody going into business, required reading, is unbelievable, the Hagdama there, not for now, but Adam Prati, she'eno bal misra, v'lo yagas libo bal ra, lo yimsa tzorech l'shano sachros v'chulu. And he says, you have to understand. And he learned every free second. And he realized that even though he couldn't give shir, as long as he writes a sefer, as long as Ilfa must have said it, otherwise a sefer, people will learn a sefer, he could be yotze. And then he says, that's why in a number of places in Shas, you find Amoraim learning Ilfa Svarim. Says in Menachas Daf Ayin, Kasuv Apinkasad de Ilfa, the Yerushalmi and Maisris, Amar Rav Yona, Ashkachte Kasuv Apinkasad de Ilfa. So you see this. So he says, I didn't become the Rosh Hashiva, but at least I wrote Svarim, and if I didn't want to become the Rosh Hashiva, Ube Pirsim Divrei Torah Shechatzav Pinkaso. That's it. That's his Hakdama to this Sefer. So why does he write this as Hakdama? So many say it's autobiographical, because he also was a businessman. And he also maybe thought to himself, I could have been the next Rosh Hashiva. But he says, learn my Sefer, and that's how I'm Yotzei, I'm not interested in being the Rosh Hashiva. So he doesn't explain it. But yeah, why is he giving this shot in the Hakdama of his Sefer? Talking about Mishnayos and Brises and what Ilfa did. We don't have time right now, but if you also want to look in the Hakdama of the Emes LeYaakov, and if Yaakov Kamenetsky Al HaTorah, he also there talks about the relationship between Brises and Mishnayos, even comparing it to Nach and Torah. Just like the Gemara says that if we wouldn't have sinned, we would have only needed Torah and Sefer Yoshua. So what does that mean? So he explains that all the rest of the messages of Nevi'im and Ksuvim could have been learned out from the Torah, so too the Brises learned out from the Mishnah. He has that comparison. But the two Akdamas that talk about Mishnayos and Brises is the Margolis Hayam and the Emes LeYaakov. Okay, we continue now. Amri Bei Rav, Mishmei De Rav. Halacha Kerb Yosi Ba'androgan Isubar Kava. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. Which Rabbi Yosi? Well, Rav says the Brisa wins. So, Mistama, this means Safik. Halacha like Rabbi Yosi by Androgynous. Right, Safi. Uba Harkava. We'll get to what Harkava is in a minute. Bez Hashem. Ushmuel Amar, Bekoshi Ubekidush. Right, Halacha Rabbi Yosi by these two. Four. So four contexts. So Androgynous, Hada Amran. What's the context of Androgynous? That's what we just said. Hada Amran. Harkava. What about Harkava? What's the case? Ditzan. The Mishnah says in Shvius. Mishnah in Shvius tells us. A notin. One is not allowed to plant. A new plant. Vein Mavrichin. Mavrichin is the type of grafting. You pull, not even grafting, but you pull something onto the ground, you bring it out somewhere else, and that you create a new natia there. Vein Markivin, grafting, Erev Shvius, even during the month before Shvius. Pachl Bishloshim Yom Levnei Rosh Hashanah. Now let it do all of these activities even before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. Vimnata Vehibrech Vehirkiv Ya'akor. And if you did it, you have to rip out the tree. The Rambam says it doesn't mean the fruit are usser, but it just means you have to rip out the tree so it doesn't stay there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol harkava she'ino koletes bishlosha yamim, shobeino koletes. No, Rabbi Yehuda says anything that does not take root for three days, so then it's never going to take root again. So as long as you have before three days, it's good enough. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, shtei shabasos. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, there's our Rabbi Yosi, 2 weeks. The Yomar, so that's different day is how much before. But now the Gemara says, whatever your Shita is, you gotta add on 30 days to that. And we'll talk about the reasons why in a second. The Yomar of Nachman Amar Avua, L'debri Omer Shloshim, the one who says you need 30 days before, really it means 60 days. Tzarech Shloshim v'Shloshim. L'debri Omer Shlosha, Tzarech Shlosha u'Shloshim. 33. L'debri Omer Shtei Shabbasos, Tzarech Shtei Shabbasos u'Shloshim. What is going on here? So we know there is a concept of Tosefa Shvias. The first two prakim in Shvias talk about adding on to Shemitah, but the Gemara says beferish elsewhere that that does not apply b'zman hazeh. Post Mikdash, Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, it only applies b'zman Mikdash. But there's another concept. Besides the concept of general Tosefa Shvius, there's also a concept that there shouldn't be klita. There shouldn't be taking root of an item during Shemitah. You shouldn't cause, before Shemitah, an item to take root during Shemitah. Why is that? Says the Minchas Chinuch, that we know the Yisurim of Shemitah are not only on the Gavra, but it's on the Karka. V'shavsa ha'aretz Shabbos Lashem. And if it says that, so not, it's not like Shabbos, where we paskin that there's no Isser of Shvisas Kalim, according to Beis Hillel. My Kalim don't have to rest on Shabbos. That's what we paskin. I could put a light on before Shabbos, and it could be lit on Shabbos. I could keep my hot plate on before Shabbos, and it's on Shabbos. We don't paskin Shvisas Kalim, right? Like Beis Shammai. We paskin like Beis Hillel. So says the Minchas Chinuch, Shemitah is not like that. Shemitah is an Isser of Shvisas. There's a mitzvah of Shvisas Karka. There's Isurim on the person. There's a mitzvah of Shvisas Karka. So I have to do my best that the Karka is resting. So included in that is that I have to make sure that Klita does not take place during Shemitah. And that's why, even separate from Tosefa Shvius, you all still have these halachas, even if you want to say Tosefa Shvius only applies to Bizman HaMikdash, you also have limitations, Bizman HaZeh, Bizman HaZeh, a planting that klita should not take place beforehand. Klita should not take place during Shemitah, that's why there are only limitations beforehand. And that's what's going on here. So how long? So Rabbi Yossi Shita is 2 weeks. And that's what we paskin. We paskin like that, Rabbi Yossi. The Rambam paskins this way in Hilcha Shemitah. The Rambam, though, has a different view than the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch's lashon is that it's because Shavsa Aretz. You have to make sure the land also rests. The Rambam has a different view. He says two words. Marasayan. You can't plant so close to Shemitah because then people are going to think that you planted during Shemitah. That's the Rambam's view. He says, Ap is manazeh. Even bizman hazeh. Einot in ilan, ozin markivin v'mavrich in erev shvius, ela kadesha tiklot hanetiyah v'tishach ha'aklita shloshim yom, kodem Rosh Hashanah. You have to have it take root and an extra month. Learned out from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Shel shvius, v'stam klita shtei shabbasos. V'dover zeh asur la'olam, v'pnei maris ha'ayin, shema yomar haroeh b'shvius neta'o. That's what the Rambam says. And you have to uproot it, he says. And if you didn't, the parents are still mutter. But that's Rambam in Shvita V'Yovel in Gimel Yud Aleph. There is, though, another, just before we get to the next one, another important point, and that is the Mishnah here says you can't be noteyan, mavrich, and markiv v'chulu. The Torah, we know, tells us four actions that are usher in Shemitah. Bitzira, kitzira, zemira, and zeria. Putting a seed in the ground, and pruning, harvesting, and harvesting. Two different of harvesting. So, and we know that those are the four daraisas. Charisha is a machlokas tanoim. Plowing. That's not mafurish, maybe it is. Depending what a pasuk means. Bacharisha v'katzir tishbos. Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. But all other actions during Shemitah, we know, are derabanan. All other actions. Not like Shabbos, where toldos are also daraisa. By Shemitah, only those four, maybe charisha. But other than that, it's derabanan. What about netia? Right, the first one here. Ein notin. Putting a seed in the ground, that's aser daraisa. What about netia? Netia means taking a little tree and putting it into the ground. It grew a little bit. I'm going to I'm going to replant without a lot of dirt. So it's like a replanting into the ground. So is that daraisa? Says the Rash Mishans in Shemitah. Says the Rash in the beginning of Shemitah, Mishnah Aleph. Of course that's daraisa. If even putting a seed in the ground is daraisa, so netia is kol v'chomer. Kol v'chomer. The Rambam, though, clearly says otherwise. The Rambam says in Shvita V'Yovel and Aleph Dalid, the Rambam says that Netiyah is Makas Mardus. One gets Makas Mardus for Netiyah. Ketzad. And all the Achronim try to figure out a svar for the Rambam. Why would putting a seed in the ground be worse than putting a whole tree into the ground? Right? Why is that worse? So that's a question. Rav Rimon has a suggestion in his Sefer on Shemitah. Rav Cook in Shabbos Haaretz on page Memhe has a discussion. But you got to figure out that svara. But it's Machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rash, whether Netiyah, this line here of Ein Notin, is that Doraisa or is that derabbanan. Okay, but now let's continue. Says Rabbi Yossi, now we know Androgynous context, and we know Shemitah context. Ushmuel Amar, six lines up, Ushmuel Amar, Bekoshi v'kiddush. We pass like Rabbi Yossi by these two. What's Koshi and Kiddush? So Koshi, Ditznan. We know there is a concept of Dam Nida, there is Ziva, there is also Dam Koshi. What does that mean? When a woman has a baby, so blood that comes out at that time shouldn't be considered Ziva. Right? A woman is Metame when she has a baby. Tumas Yoledes, 7 days for a boy, 14 days for a girl. But the Dam, we don't consider that Dam Nida, we don't consider that Ziva if it's in between the times, in between the days of Nidus, if it's during the 11 days. So usually if a woman sees something for 3 days, during the time when she's not supposed to be a Nida, she becomes a Zava Gadola. But if we could attribute that Re'ia to labor, so then we would not say she's a Zava. So how long before the birth could we attribute it to the labor? As long as, also, Rashi adds in, as long as there's no hefsek, like the labor pains don't stop in the middle. So then we have to say the earlier ones were not labor. But as long as it continues straight, how far could we go back and say, this is Dam Koshi, this is Dam from labor, and it's not Ziva. Kama Yekishuya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Oar Bomo Chamishim Yom. Go back even 40, 50 days, a very long labor. Right, remember we had earlier one of the Amoram's wives that had a very long, right, a couple of months she had a labor until the second baby, the twin baby came out, and she went to her husband undercover and said, is a woman obligated? Remember the last daf in Abel Yevimto? Is a woman obligated in Pur Avu? And he says no, so she went and drank the Kosi Karin. Had enough of these labors. So 40 or 50 days. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Daya Chadasha. Rabbi Yehuda says no, a month. A month. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon Omrim in Koshi Yosef Mishesha Basos, 2 weeks. So that's the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon Shita, Dam Koshi up till 2 weeks. A fascinating machlokas. What does it mean a month? What does Daya Chadasha here mean? What does it mean a month? Rashi quotes here. It's a machlokas elsewhere. Tosfos in the Ritva, a machlokas about this in Nida Lamed Ches. Rashi quotes here. What would you have said a month? A month means a month before the baby is born. Right? The ninth month of pregnancy. That's what we would have said. That's what the Ritva says. Rashi here quotes, the Tosfos quotes in Maseches Nida, no. It means whatever Hebrew calendar month she has the baby in, from that Rosh Chodesh. She gives birth on the fourth day of Teves, so she's only contributed 4 days. If she gives birth on the 29th day of Teves, she has 29 days back. She can consider it. Why? Says Rashi, the physical realities are influenced by the Hebrew calendar. Right, what's the biggest riot to this? We all know, in Hilchas Nida. Right, we have to be choshesh. Right, if a woman has a vesa sheino kavua, what do we have to be choshesh for? We have to be choshesh for vesa haflaga, the interval, ves ona beninis, right? Every 30 days, the average woman, and vesa achodesh. What is vesa achodesh? If she saw the fourth day of the month last time, so she might see the fourth day of the month this time. What does that mean, the fourth day of the month? What does the woman's body have to do with the Hebrew calendar? Ah, it does. Right, the famous Yerushalmi in Adarim about Pesulei Chozrim, if a girl turns 3 years old, and then Beis Din adds on another month to the year, and now she's less than 3 years old, Pesulei Chozrim, we again treat her like a girl who's under 3 years old. That's what Rashi right here. Shipura Garim, you see the third wide line in Rashi. Shofer she Beis Din Tokin Lekiddush, Gorei Makishui. So, Machlokas Rishonim, what does it mean here by Chodesh? Does it mean the ninth month, or does it mean the month that she has the baby in? So again, that's also, if you're looking up at the Ritva there in Maseches Nida, argues on Tosfos and Daf Lamed Ches. The Ritva says, I don't know what you're talking about, how it can mean, he says, how it can mean the, in this context, it goes by the Hebrew calendar. He says, Umiyam HaShakasav, Shofar, Shebez, and Token, Bekidish HaChodesh, Yerad Delo Nakti, Rebbe Vedavka, no! Milzim Desvaranami! You want to say some things go by the Hebrew calendar, fine. But this is Svara. She'ein chodesh shisho yoledes havla holeich achar chachi hashana el achar minyani bura. So, machlokas Rishonim about that. Okay. So that is, let's continue. The Shach discusses this in Ilchas Nida, Kuf Peites, Sif Yud Gimel, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. Okay, last context. Kiddush, 4 lines from the bottom. We pass on like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Kiddush. What's Kiddush? Ditznan, Kiddush by Kilai HaKerem. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kilayim, HaMesachi Chafno Agabi Tuaso Shochavero. I have a vineyard next to my friend's grain. I take my vineyard and I stretch it over my friend's grain. And I create Kilai HaKerem, right? Which is one of the 5 types of Kilayim, but it's the most chamor in that it's Aser Banon, you have to burn it. right? The pasuk says tukdash hareze kodesh kidesh v'chay bachri yusom. So it is kidesh, right? It becomes asur, and I'm a mazik, and I have to pay for it. Chay bachri yusom divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon omrim. No, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon says no. Ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. You can't asur your friend's item. Ain't other most, just like if you bow down to your friend's item, it doesn't become aser, mishum avodah zara, you can't aser. So, that's the last context, we paskin like Rabbi Yosi. What's the reason for Rabbi Meir? So this is known as the sugya of Garmi. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Kuf quotes, Rabbi Meir is don in dina de Garmi. What does Garmi mean? There are three categories of actions in damages. There's Grama, Garmi, and Maisa Yashir, Maisa Yashira. There's Grama indirect. I do something which indirectly, does something to you. Grama b'nizakin is putter. Let's say I leave a faucet on in my backyard and then it floods across through my backyard into your backyard and ends up flooding your house. That's Grama b'nizakin. So that's putter. Or I leave your fence open and your animal goes out and gets hurt. Then you have the opposite. If I go and smash something of yours, that's direct damage, mazik, and I have to pay for that. And then you have garmi. Garmi, there is a machlokas, whether we have a category of garmi. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Don din de garmi. Garmi means there is an act of nazik, but something's lacking. So what's the example? There's a piece of paper of an IOU. You have a paper that says, I owe you $100. And somebody goes and burns that piece of paper. So did they damage your property? Not really. They didn't damage $100, but they damaged your raya that I owe you $100. So that's one example of garmi. So another example of garmi suggested by the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara tries to go figure out what the source for Rabbi Meir is. But here's another one. What did I do? I just stretched my vines over your tefuah. I didn't smash your headlight. So maybe that's also. And the Ramban, this is such an important sugya. The Ramban has chidushim on shas, but he has one kuntris dina de garmi. It's printed with the babis in the chidushim Ramban ala shas. He has a whole kuntris, 20 pages, where he talks about every single case in shas, which is a little bit the second half of it, where from ishtakech, I forgot the exact lashon, where it starts in the middle. That's where everybody learns from. Ishtakech chashta, I forgot the exact lashon, where he starts talking about all the cases of garmi and all the deos, what exactly is the chisaron of garmi, what's the root, but it's a fascinating discussion. But this is one of the cases that's brought. The Ritva right here says, garmi, that's Rabbi Meir. But we pass like Rabbi Yosi. Ein adam oser davar shein shalom. A person cannot aser something that is not his. Ask Tosfos right on top here. Very crucial line. What do you mean you can't aser? What, how is this different than what if I throw some milk into your chicken soup? But ein adam oser davar shein shalom. I've created basar b'chalav. So here, I've created kilei akerem. So what do you mean ein adam oser davar shein shalom? So you say that by certain cases, but not... Here's a mitzias. Isn't this a mitzias? Says Tosfos, no. The Omeri, second line, on top. Dibidavar hatalui b'machshava hu da'amar hachi. No, you know why you say you're not the most Avashin and Shalom? Because this isn't like Basar B'Chalav. Basar B'Chalav is a reality. It's a reality. You create a Basar B'Chalav, then that's it. It's Usr. But here, by Kilei HaKerem, we know from elsewhere, Machshava plays a role too. Meaning, it only becomes Usr. Let's say in my field. Let's say I go out to my backyard, and I see Kilei HaKerem over the past month has overgrown my field. It's not usher yet until I am happy with the existence of it. If I say, oh my gosh, I have to get rid of that, I run out and I rip it out, it's not usher. What if I see it all over my field and I go very slowly, little by little, methodically through my field and I rip everything out, but I don't get to that until like next week because I have a big field. It's also not usher. If I have plans to rip it out, it's not usher. Right? You have to have nichalei when it comes to kelei akerem. The Tosfos says, you see, it's not a reality. It has to do with machshava. So whenever he has something to do with Machshava, in other most of Darvish and Shalom. Who expands upon this? We don't have time to read the whole thing, but we mentioned this in the past, Rabbi Chanan, in Kovas Ha'aretz, in Simon, Ayin Vav, Os Aleph, Beis Gimel, he talks about two types of actions. Actions which you're in control of, and actions which you're not in control of. And we discussed this earlier in the Masechta when we spoke about Chalitza versus Kiddushin. Could you make a Shliach, or make a Tznai on a Chalitza? We said no. Why? Because chalitza is just an action that's done. It's not your control. You take off the shoe. That's it. You can't make a shliach or tznai. Marriage, you can't make a shliach. You can't make a tznai. You're in control. So he says it's the same kind of thing with ein adam oser davar shein shalom. That by an avodah zareh, it doesn't become aser, but by basar b'chalav, it would become aser. There's different categories. But this, I don't think he quotes Tosfos here, but that Rabbi Chanan, Ayin Vav, Siman Ayin Vav, is similar to this Tosfos. Weiter. Ibai lehu, beandrogenis, mali amar Shmuel. So we know Rav and Shmuel each said the halach is like Rabbi Yossi in two cases. So what would each of them say about the other two cases? So, beandrogenis, mali amar Shmuel. So Toshma, Darmer Shmuel, Ravanan, less than the price, make him a we had it on Amman Aleph. Shmuel says, the Mishnah wins, meaning, we pass on like Rabbi Yossi, vade androgynous. Harkava mali amar Shmuel, what would he say in the Shemitah case? Tashma, damale Shmuel of Anan, tani kaman damar shlosha vishloshim. Meaning he did not paskin like Rabbi Yossi there, right? He said 30, not 2 weeks. Koshi mali amarav teku. That we don't know. Kiddush mali amarav. What about Kiddush by Akilei Akerem? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma. Amar Rav Huna amarav. Ein halacha Rav Yossi. Rav says beferish, we don't paskin like Rav Yossi. Amar le'abaya my chazit de smoch aha. Why did you rely on that version of Rav? Smoch aha. Amar Rav Ada. Amar Rav halacha Rav Yossi. Right, Rav Ada says that Rav did hold like Rav Yossi. How can you quote Rav Huna, who says that Rav said we don't hold like Rav Yossi? So the Gemara answers, Amri Be Rav, whenever you have the phrase of Amri Be Rav in Shas, who is that referring to? Manu, Rav Huna. That's Rav Huna. And that's what we had in Amud Aleph. We had Amri Be Rav, that Rav holds that we possibly like Rav Yossi in these two cases, and Rav Huna Amri in Alacha. So it's better to put the two Rav Hunas together. Rav Huna and Amud Aleph said, Rav holds like Rav Yossi in these two cases, and here he says, Ein halacha Rav Yossi. Remember, the last Amud Beis in the first parak of Sanhedrin has a list of like 15 phrases in Shas, which rabbis are always meant by Amri Be Rav, Tani Devei this, right? All of them. So whenever you have one of those, you want to know which rabbi is meant by that? You look, Machwalai B'marava. Who does that mean? All those Lashonas. Okay. That's Yuzayin Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tumtum V'chulu. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, going back, Rabbi Yehuda in the last line of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that a Tumtum, that you rip open, meaning you do surgery, and he comes out to be a Zachar, he still does not do Chalitza, because he's like a Saris. Omer Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami was buried in Tveria. Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, buried right next to the Rambam. Omer Rabbi Ami. My Ovid lay Rabbi Yehuda L'Tumtum Debiri. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? That a tumtum you have to treat like a saris because he can't have kids. What is he going to do with the tumtum and biri? The osvua abe kurse, they put him on the operation table. The ikra, and they gave him surgery. Volacheva, but didn't he had seven kids? He had seven kids after, seven boys. So what do you mean he's going to have to treat him like a saris? Rabbi Yehuda Amalei, chazar abana me'ayinheim. You know, go do some research where the kids came from. Meaning, I don't believe it. I don't believe that he had kids. His wife must have been Mizana. Period. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Tumtum, Lo Yachlots, Shema, Yikar, Rav, and Imsa, Srischama. Right, a Tumtum can't do Chalitza, because maybe he's going to come out to, that he was a Sris. Says the Gemara, why are you only worried about that? Oh, to call the Mikra Zachar, Ave, maybe it'll come out that he's a female. Forget the fact that he might be an inferior type of male, maybe he'll be a female. Why are you worried about that? So Gemara says, Achinam, Achigamar, yeah, you're right. Shema, Yikar, Rav, and Imsa, Nekeva, Vyafilin, Imsa, Zachar, Shema, Yimasi, Srischama. Right? My Binayhu, what's the difference between the two Rebbe Yehudas? Rebbe Yehuda in our Mishnah says Vaday Saris, right? You can't have to treat in Lo Yachlos because of Vaday Saris. While Rebbe Yehuda in the Brisa basically says Suffix Saris, Shema. So, Amarava, Lifsol B'makam Achin, V'lachlot Shalom B'makam Achin, Nikki Binayhu. The difference is, does he passel? Meaning, let's say this Tumtum does Chalitza. Does that passel that none of his other brothers can now do Yibam with this woman? So according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, the other brothers could do Yibam, because what he did is nothing. He's a Vadei Saris. Therefore, the Zeke is not there, and therefore the other brothers could still do Yibam. Mashen Kain, according to Rabbi Yehuda of the Brisa, he's a Safik, and therefore he passels. And the second, Valach Lo Shalom B'Makamach, if there's no other brothers, does his Chalitza have any significance? Right, so the same root machlokas. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda Marav Abba Achud Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavdi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav Androgynous Chayavin Alav Skila Mishay Bekamos. Getting back to what we started off with today, Androgynous is Chayav Mishkav Zachar. If a man lives with an Androgynous, he's Chayav Mishay Bekamos in his Makam Azichrus, which is normal Mishkav Zachar. Not that Mishkav Zachar is ever normal, but what the normal act of Mishkav Zachar, and from his Makam Nikvus. Meisve, is that really true? Rabbi Eliezer, Amr Blazer says in the Tosefta, Androgynous Chayavan of Skila, Kibizachar, Bamedra Amor Bezichr Shalom, Avobinik Vishalom Potter, Stira. Simura says, it's a machlokas. The Tanya, we have a brisa that says, this is the Gzeras HaKasev that the Rashba mentioned earlier. Remember we mentioned the Rashba holds, how can the Rambam say what he says? The Rambam holds, he's like, Safek, but there's a special Gzeras HaKasev that you're chayev for both, for this. So this is the Gzeras HaKasev. The Tanya of Simai Omer. Androgynous chayev and alav skila mishtei bekomos. Androgynous is chayev skila with a zachar for both the Malkam Zichrus and the Malkam Nikvus. My time at the Rav Simai. Amar Rava, Barhamduri Azbrali, Barhamduri explained to me, Vezachar lo sishkav mishkavei isha, double lashon. Ezeo zachar shishbo shnei mishkavos, who is a zachar that could have a plural? Havi Omer's androgynous. That's an androgynous, that's what the pasuk is including. Virabanan, and what about the Rabbanan? Afagav de ispe shnei mishkavos, es zachar ksiv. Says the singular, calls him a zachar. So that's why only chayav for the makom zichrus. V'rabbanan, how would Rabbi Elazar say back? Zachar grei d'minalehu. Where does he know regular mishkav zachar from? If this pasuk is referring to this unique case of androgynous, where does he know the regular case of mishkav zachar from? So minaleh mi ve'es. Reading the Bach. The Bach says mi ve'es isha. Shaloke darka minalehu. So how does he know even shaloke darka mi ve'isha? Okay, different Lashonas, how he knows it. Period. One more section. Amar of Shizi, Amar of Chizda. Lo lakal Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Androgan is Zachar Ma'al Yehu. Rav Chizda says, even though Rabbi Eliezer says that you treat an Androgan as like a Zachar for Mishkav Zachar, not for every halacha do we treat him like a male. Does Rabbi Eliezer treat him like a male? Why? Shema Ta'omer Kein, if you say Androgan is a Vade Zachar, but Mokdash and Yikdash, why don't you say by an animal Androgan it would be a Kasher Karban, it would be a Zachar. But we don't say that. So unless you're mechalik between humans and animals, which the Gemara is not being mechalik, it must be that Rabbi Elazar, even Rabbi Elazar has some limits. Ominolan delo kadosh. How do we know that an androgynous animal is not kadosh? Tanu Rabbanan. The following: hanirba vahamuksa vahaneved vahesanu mechir. All these nirba, an animal that had a relation with a human. Vahamuksa, designated for avodah zarah. Neved is actually worshipped. Esnan, given as payment for a zona. Mechir, if it's switched with a dog. Vetumtum vaandrogonus metamin begadim abesabliya. All these animals are mitami begadim abesabliya. What does that mean? We know special, unique type of tuma nevelas of tahar, the nevela of a kosher bird. Right? If it is shechted, then it's fine. If it's not shechted, but it becomes a nevela, it dies without shechita, then it's mitami, a person, as the person eats it. So, in these cases, Rashi adds in one detail that we need to know, malika was done. The way that you shecht a karban bird, malika. Malika was done to all these animals. Says the Tanakama, that did not prevent the animal from being a nevela. Because all these animals are not kadosh. And therefore, it's just like chulin, which had malika done to it. And a chulin has malika done to it as a nevela. Only a karban oaf can have malika done to it, and it's not a nevela. If a chulin has malika, or if a karban oaf has shechita, both of those mess up what you're trying to accomplish. So all these are matami, begadim, abesabliya. A lot of lumdis there, but not for now. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, tumtum v'androgynous e matami, begadim, abesabliya. Tumtum and androgynous are not mitame, meaning they do not create tumas nevela. Shahayir Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Why? Why don't they? Komako, meaning why are they considered, you know, kadosh by birds? Rabbi Eliezer says, because birds are different than animals. Komakom shenamer zachar v'nekeva, atamotzi tumtum androgynous b'beneihem. Whenever it says zachar v'nekeva, so then you exclude, like by animals, so then you have to exclude tumtum and androgynous from being the karban. The oaf, but by karban is oaf. Ho v'lo namer bo zachar v'nekeva. It doesn't say zachar v'nekeva by birds. So then, iatamotzi tumtum androgynous b'beneihem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, by birds, but what about by regular karbanis of behemoths? So then androgynous and tumtum are excluded. Rabbi Eliezer agrees to that. So you see, Rabbi Eliezer does not say it's Vade Zachar for all intents and purposes. For a karban here, it is not. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem will continue next time with finishing up this 8th parak of Masechta Yevamos. Keep in mind, 8th parak, 9th parak. The 10th parak starts the second half of the Masechta. Not in terms of pages, but in terms of topics. The second half, parak Isha Rabba, the 10th parak, all, that's all Edus Isha and Aguna. That starts the second half of the Masechta in topics. So it's on the horizon. Okay, we'll stop here.